Thank you. You may be seated.
When we feel the world is crashing all around us, we're helpless and afraid. God seems so far away. Oh, but He's a faithful friend. He is with us till the end. So don't you fear, for God is ever near. My needs, He satisfies my longing heart. He's been so good to me. He is enough in a dry and thirsty land, in the midst of a valley when I can't trace the Father's hand. And when my strength fails and I feel I can't go on, Jesus reminds me of His love. He is enough. Are you walking through some heartache and blue? You don't friend, let me tell you, He sees your every tear, in your weakest moment, He will always be near.
He is enough,
Jesus meets my needs, He satisfies my longing heart. He's been so good to me. He is enough in a dry and thirsty land, in the midst of the valley when I can't trace the Father's hand. And when my strength fails and I feel I can't go on, Jesus reminds me of His love. He is enough. When you can't go on, He will be enough. When your strength is almost gone, He will be enough. When the pathway grows dim, place your trust in Him. When the road ahead gets tough, He will be enough.
He is enough.
He is enough. Jesus meets my needs. He satisfies my longing heart. He's been so good to me. He is enough. Trace the Father's hand.
And when my strength fails and I feel I can't go on,
Jesus reminds me of His love. Jesus reminds me of His love.
Appreciate that.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians this evening. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. We're nearing the end of the Christmas break for our schools, and all of the kids are so excited to go back to school tomorrow. They've been begging to go back, I'm pretty sure, and maybe not quite the truth, but kind of getting through that a bit with people traveling, and good to have most everyone back home, a few sick and healing up, so pray for them if you would. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1, if you would stand to your feet as you find that in your Bible as you're able. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1, and we'll read the whole chapter. Don't worry, it's only 10 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. God, I pray you'd bless this message, this time tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we get ready to for the scriptures here in a minute, I wanted just to give you a couple of thoughts. This kind of ties in, but this next Sunday night, we have our ministry night, and it's a review from the past year of what the Lord allowed us to do in 2024. And so we're looking forward to that, to look at what we were able to do for the Lord's sake, and thankful for many souls that were saved, baptized, added to the church, growing in the Lord. And so I'm looking forward to that a lot. We spent a lot of time looking ahead for what, or looking back of what we've done, but also looking forward to this coming year. And we have a lot planned for this year. If you haven't looked at the calendar, maybe we'll surprise you on some of those things. Many of the same things we've always done, which is a blessing, but also a few new things we're looking forward to do. And so I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday night. And this Sunday night crowd is really our church family crowd. Everyone's welcome to come, but our faithful laborers that many times are serving all over the place on Sunday morning, busy on buses and Sunday school classes and helping all over the place, but many times we gather together as a church family on Sunday night and kind of a time of encouragement, challenge, and ready to go forward. And that's what next Sunday night will be, is looking ahead to what God would have us to do in 2025. I mentioned it already, but who knows if the Lord allows us to get through this year before he returns. It could be any day. And we must be busy doing the work of the Lord. And the Lord gave me a verse I believe would be a help and encouragement to us for this next week. So I want to encourage you to be here and be in your place. But as we finish this past year, and we'll look at that in review, I just wanted to take some time tonight just to give an encouragement to our church and just to say thank you. We are so blessed here at Shasta Baptist Church. Really, I believe, blessed beyond measure. We may not have the largest church, the biggest buildings. I believe we have a beautiful church and great buildings and great people, but we are very blessed by the Lord. So I just want to take tonight as kind of a precursor to next week just to say thank you. This passage here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is in reference to this letter that was written to the church at Thessalonica. You'll see this church reference in Acts chapter number 17 as Paul and Silas and Timothy go to Thessalonica on Paul's second missionary journey, and they go and preach the gospel there. And as they preach the gospel, as they did in many places, many people were saved. And how exciting that is, but the other side of the coin is there was much persecution as well. And I forget who it was said, but I believe it was said, we must be preaching a different gospel today because we're not getting the same persecution in the church that they did back then. But they would go and turn this world upside down for the cause of Christ. And that verse was referenced there in Acts chapter 17. And they preached and people were saved. But people from other religions or those that rejected Jesus Christ, they did not like the gospel being preached there. And so they ran Paul out of town and they sent him away. And Paul and Silas stayed there in that city for some period of time. And so Paul writes back to this church at Thessalonica, and you could go and read that passage a later time. But I want to just take a few points here and then give you a few thoughts tonight of Paul's challenge to this church. And really, I believe it's a challenge that relates to our church here as well. And in verse number 2, the Lord, as inspired by God, of course, Paul wrote this and said, "We give thanks to God always for you all." And Paul's first challenge to this church was just saying thank you. As Paul did many times these epistles were written, it was, you know, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. But then it many times got quickly to being thankful to these churches that were started. As Paul would have a hand at preaching at these churches and trying to help establish the church, and he would leave and write back and sometimes would go back again and visit that place again, but he just would stop and just say, thank you. And again, as I mentioned tonight, I just want to say thank you, church, for your faithfulness. On any given Sunday, there are multitudes of people serving all over the place, serving the Lord, and I just want to say thank you. We'll get to more into that in a bit, but I just want to say thank you. Secondly, he wanted to say this in verse number 2. He says, making mention of you in our prayers. And church, I want you to know, as I say thank you, church, I want to let you know that we're praying for you as well. And prayer is such an important part of the ministry. Prayer is that hidden part, I guess if you will, that private part of your time alone with God, spending time with God, but praying for others. And he said, I'm thanking God for you, but then he said, I'm praying for you in our prayers. And then in verse number 3, he says this, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. He said, remembering your work of faith, that they were doing a work for God, and it truly was a work of faith. And anytime you do a work for God, it is a work of faith. It truly is a work of faith that you would endeavor to start a church and to labor to reach people for God, and that is truly a labor of love, and it's a work of faith. And that next phrase there, as I already mentioned it, he says, your work of faith, and it's a labor of love. A church is more than just a gathering place to meet for a couple of hours, to have a time of entertainment. A true church is a labor of love. A labor of love. And it truly, I believe, is an example of Christ's love for the church. The right kind of church is a heart of love from the Lord, reaching others with the gospel. And then as he continues here, he says, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This book of Thessalonians would speak much of the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming. And he talks about their patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God the Father, waiting for the Lord. In verse number 6, it says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. They received the word in much affliction, but look at the next phrase. It says this, with joy of the Holy Ghost. That reminds me of the book of Philippians, how the church was started in affliction and in troubles and trials, but then there was much joy that came from that. And although there was affliction, but there was joy because souls were being saved. And there is joy. There should be a labor of love. There should be joy in the church. In verse number 7, it says this, so that ye were in samples or examples. It says to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In church, I want you to know this, that you're an example to those around us. You're an example to churches around us, to those even in our own city, to our young people that have gone off to serve the Lord in other parts of the country or or maybe in Bible college. We still have a few stragglers here that we're getting ready to kick out here pretty soon. No, we enjoy having you here. But it's an example to others that when they come back home and they would tell you, as Brother Evans preached last week as well, and just said, thank you, church, for staying faithful. It's an example of others. In verse number 8, it says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. And he says that you're an example to others. And he says that you sounded out the word of the Lord, that the gospel is being preached. And I'm thankful that at Shasta Baptist Church, the gospel is being preached. I'm thankful it's being preached in Sunday school classes and the Spanish ministry and in the juvenile hall and in nursing homes, that the gospel is being preached all around this property and all throughout the city every single week, knocking on doors, going on buses, and preaching the gospel. And I believe it's a great testimony of Shasta Baptist Church that people know that Shasta Baptist Church is doing the work of preaching the gospel. Now, some people appreciate that, and some people don't appreciate it. Some of those, we get the phone calls of those that don't appreciate it very much. And they call and rant and hang up, and we think, well, I don't know what to do about that. Sorry, but we're still preaching the gospel. And that's an example to Redding, California, but to the surrounding areas that we're still preaching the gospel. In verse number 9, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That people would know that the gospel is being preached here, but that lives are being changed. That people were serving idols, but now they are serving the true God. That lives are being changed. And that is a testimony of the church that people are getting saved, but God is changing lives. And that God is still in the life-changing business. That God can turn a life around. They're serving God. Lives are being changed. Serving the true God. And then in verse number 10, it says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And they were waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. And again, tonight, church, I just want to take a few simple points to tell you, thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. God gave us another year of God's blessings, and we have a lot planned for this coming year, but we don't know what the Lord has planned for this year for us. But we have a lot that I believe the Lord has given us for us to do to endeavor for the work of the Lord. So number one tonight, I just want to say this. Thank you for your love for the Lord. Thank you, most importantly, church, for your love for the Lord. I love Shasta Baptist Church, but I love the Lord. What we're doing here every single week and every day should be about serving the Lord. It should be about your love for God. See, that's what keeps you going for the Lord. People may disappoint you. People may rub you the wrong way. People may frustrate you. But if what you're doing is for the Lord, it keeps you going for God. So thank you for your love for the Lord. I'm constantly challenged by the people of Shasta Baptist Church for your love for God. People that are going through trials and struggles and people that are just continuing on for God, thank you for being faithful to the Lord. I think of the church at Ephesus referenced in the book of Revelation. It says in Revelation 2:4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. May it not be said of Shasta Baptist Church that we've left our first love. And our first love should always be for the Lord. That should be the center of why we do what we do in every ministry in this church. It's for the Lord. Right? It's for the Lord. It is to help and to serve people and to preach the gospel and others, but it is for the Lord. I believe the Lord looks down on a regular basis and sees people that are serving the Lord, people that are cleaning, setting up, serving, helping. And to me, I believe the greatest servants of the Lord are the ones that are doing sometimes what seem to be the menial tasks, the little things that no one else would want to do, but someone that just faithfully serves the Lord, doing their task for God. So thank you for your love for the Lord. I want to encourage you with this, though. Protect your time with God. Protect your time with God, because your love for the Lord truly is built around your alone time with God, your walk with God. Your walk with God is really where you develop and you grow your love for the Lord. Protect your time with the Lord. Every single day, I know that it can be busy and a struggle, and I think about that with families with young kids because we are one of you, and there's not too many quiet moments in our house, whether it be light or dark, and I feel like there's not, I can't get up too early or stay up too late that there's not someone moving around the house, and I've got these wonderful things called earphones that are great, and sometimes you put those on and say, Lord, I just need some time alone. Protect your time with the Lord. That's so important as a Christian that you get alone with God every single day. Because if you start neglecting your time with God, your love for God is going to get less and less and get colder and colder and away from the Lord until all of a sudden we get away from God and we think, what happened? It's because the love for God has diminished. Protect your time with God, but also protect your heart. Protect your heart. The devil is looking to steal your heart away. The devil is looking to put some area of bitterness or anger or resentment or the grass is greener on the other side somewhere. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You must protect your heart. The devil in this world is constantly trying to steal your heart and steal your affection and steal your attention. But our love for God, He should be number one. He should know that He is number one in our lives. When's the last time you told the Lord, I love you. I love you, God. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for getting to be a part of God's will and having God's word. Thank you for our church. And they could go on and on. Protect your heart. And God should know that He has your love. And you know this, that you always have the love of God. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Thank you for your love for the Lord. Number two, thank you for your concern for the lost. Thank you for your concern for the lost. Shasta Baptist Church has been and always will be centered around preaching the gospel. It will always be centered around preaching the gospel and reaching souls for Christ. Any moment of any day, we're surrounded by thousands and thousands of people that are lost and on their way to hell. And although there is much more to do and there's more that we will be doing, and come next Sunday night we'll give you an insight to some of those things that we'll be doing, but there is much more to do with the gospel and preaching the gospel in Redding, California and the areas surrounding us. But thank you for your concern for the lost. Caring for the souls of people around you. See, soul winning at Shasta Baptist Church is more than a soul winning time for our men's soul winning time or our teen soul winning time or Saturday soul winning time. It's about every day, as you go everywhere, there's souls all around you. I'm so encouraged when I hear and see about someone that's bringing a coworker to church, a neighbor to church, a relative to church, people all around you, just as you're going, praying and looking and witnessing and inviting. Every single Sunday, we have a number of folks that come here, some that looked up the church somewhere or got an invitation or someone invited them. And that's what a soul-winning church should be, getting the light of the gospel out anywhere and everywhere. Let's be diligent this year about our concern for the lost. Guess what? Preaching the gospel, it takes work. It takes work, doesn't it? It's easy to be quiet. I'm busy. I've got things to do. My family's with me. And we can have all the excuses, can't we? And God says, stop and give them the gospel. Give them an invitation. Give them an opportunity. And give them that tract or invite them to church or give your testimony. It takes work. You have to go out of your way and dedicate time or put a pause in what you're doing. But is anything more important than telling someone how to be saved and go to heaven? Do we have the time to wait? Or do they have the time to wait for another opportunity to hear the gospel? Again, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness to preach the gospel. We have much that we're going to do this year about getting the gospel out. And one of those things we mentioned already is about getting 10,000 John and Romans out that we're going to start here in about a month and a half. And I can't wait to get started on that. And I'm sure you can't wait to get started on that as well. And we're going to enlist many people to help with that. But I'm excited about other ways that God would have us to get the gospel out in our area. The Great Commission truly is one person giving the gospel to one person. That truly is what the gospel boils down to. Yes, we preach the gospel here, but it's you bringing the gospel to someone that you know, someone that God put in your path. Thank you for your concern for the lost. Next is this, thank you for your care one for another. The longer that I pastor, the more I realize the burdens that our church family carries on an everyday basis. I thought I knew, but I didn't quite fully understand. And we had more teenage drama and stuff with the teenagers, and you just tell them, be quiet and get back to schoolwork or sit in your seat. No, we didn't do that, did we? I don't know. But thank you for your care one for another. Thank you for caring for each other. If you didn't notice, there's more of you than there is of me. And I'm not sure if you realize that. There's more of you than there is staff here, and we try to do our best to pray and to look out for you, but I'm so encouraged when I hear the people here saying, I sent them a note, I went and checked on them, I brought them a meal, have you heard how they're doing, and praying and looking out for each other. We're a church family, right? We're a church family. And there's so many people that come here and think, I feel welcomed when I come to Shasta Baptist Church because someone cared to know my name, someone cared to visit me or to pray for me or to check on me, and that makes a difference, doesn't it? That we would pray and care one for another. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We should have a care one for another. You know what we can do as a church? That we could all fight with each other. Wouldn't that be fun? We could all argue with each other and, you know, give dirty looks as we go down the hallways. Maybe you do that, I don't know. And maybe ignorance is bliss, and so I'll enjoy that ignorance, and I guess. But I'd like and seem to think that we kind of can get along with each other because there's more to do for the gospel and for the Lord than to worry about fightings and feelings and all that stuff. And I'm a man, so I can say that maybe. Not that men don't have feelings. We just have a few of them, not a whole lot. And praise the Lord for that. And but thank you for your care one for another. So many churches can get so focused on trying to make this person happy. And what if I tell this person? What do we do? And what if we put them together and all that? That's exhausting, all right? Let's just go forward for the Lord. What do you say? Thank you for your care one for another, praying for another, checking, encouraging one another. We're not here to be a friendship fellowship center, but I hope that we care enough for each other that we'd cross the aisle to say hi to somebody, right? I know it's a long, big aisle. I know that the people over here probably don't talk to the people over here that much, or you take that long journey over there to the other side, and but that we care one for another. I was telling my wife today, I think I follow certain paths through the church more often than others, and I try to get around to talk to others more often than I haven't and I should. But thank you for caring one for another. And I believe that God has blessed us with an incredible church, that we care for each other, that we pray for each other, encourage and lift each other up, not trying to hurt each other and beat each other down. And I just want to say thank you for your care for me and my family. And I truly mean it. I've said it before, but you could have made things pretty difficult on us if you wanted to. I'm sure you'd have no reason to because we have no faults and we do everything perfect. If you didn't know that, that's how the pastor's family works, which is not true. But you could have made things difficult on us or hard on us. But church, you've been so good to us. And I just want to say thank you. You truly are such a blessing to me and my family, and we appreciate you very much. And truly, I believe as a church, as I mentioned already, becomes a family. And when one hurts, you know, others hurt. And when some have victory, we all have that victory, and that's how a church should be. But I just want to say thank you, church, for caring for me and my family and for looking out for us and praying and encouraging and sending us cookies and cheesecake and food and all of that. And it's such a blessing, and we probably shouldn't eat any more of that, but if you bring it, I'm going to have to. I only have self-control if it's not in the house. If it's in the house, I don't have much of a chance at it. It's just sitting there taunting us. And so as soon as you eat it, it's gone. And the problem is something replaces it, and that's not good. But thank you for your encouragement and for your care through the holidays and all of those things. And I'm not asking for you to do things for us, but church, you've been so good to us and encouraging and praying. And Lord, and I hope you understand that we need that. We pray for you, but I do ask and covet your prayers for us as we continue on serving the Lord. And there's, as I mentioned already, there's much to do for the work of the Lord. And the Lord has blessed our church going on 42 years this year in existence. And not just existing, but I believe growing and thriving and doing more for God. We're not just here surviving to the end. And we're trying to grow and reach people. We're not here just for numbers, but we want everyone that can come here. And if we don't have a space problem at some point, then we have a problem. We're trying to reach people. If we don't have people that are here that are a little bit odd sometimes and maybe speaking out and getting up at the wrong times or whatever, then we're probably not reaching people, right? And that's what our church should be. May we not get too stuffy that we sit in our place, but you're supposed to sit in your place so it can find where you are. And when you move, I don't know if you've been here or not. The problem is if I don't talk to you, I don't even fully remember if someone's there. So I've got to talk to you to make that connection. And I don't know why that works, but it does. But we should be reaching people. We should be doing more for the Lord. And we are. Tonight is not a setup, so to say, but tonight is the encouragement. Next week is the challenge. And so be ready for that. I'm not here to try to step on anyone's toes, but I want to give a challenge because I don't want us to get comfortable. That is one of my fears of Shasta Baptist Church, that we will get comfortable. We'd be comfortable with the buildings and the ministries and the finances, and all of that is great, but we could get too comfortable where we are, and we can't be comfortable. We can't be comfortable because Jesus Christ is coming soon. The Bible says, lift up your eyes, for his redemption draweth nigh. He's coming soon. He's coming soon, and people need the Lord. We must be doing more for the Lord. But again, just want to say thank you for your labor of love, for your work of faith, for your patience of hope. Continue on for the Lord. Keep going for the Lord. There is much to be done for the Lord. Let's just keep going for God. Again, we could take time and fighting and arguing and getting distracted with all the other things. And I'm okay with, and I'm good with the fellowships and all those things. But let's do more for the Lord this coming year. Individually, it starts with each person individually. It does. The church is only going to go forward as much as you, as close as you get to God and as much as you do for the Lord. For each person, that we would individually be right with God. That we'd be right with God. We'll get to that here by the end of the month as we get closer to our revival nights and getting our hearts prepared and right for this year. But we must be right with God personally. May we never come to God's work with dirty hands and a dirty heart trying to do God's perfect work. May we never come to God's work and trying to do it for our own gain and our own pleasure. May we do it for the Lord. That should be our desire, that we would do it for the Lord. And let's make sure we continue on for the Lord. Head bowed and eyes closed this evening. Lord, I just want to